This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Today we begin a new message titled, How to Love with a Pure Heart.
We thank you for the Spirit of God being alive in this place to minister, Father. We thank you for words of life, divine understanding, and revelation. We ask the Holy Spirit, come today and minister to us, teach through us, teach us the word of God that we need to know for this present time. We look forward to you as the revelator to the church. We don't lean on the understanding of man, but we look to the understanding and knowledge and wisdom of God. Speak in and through us today and anoint us that we have ears to hear what the word of God has to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about one of the two most popular subjects in Scripture. And I always say those are love and faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without love, your faith doesn't work. Because faith working by love and love working by faith. So we're going to look at a derivative. The title of the message is How to Love with a Pure Heart. How to Love with a Pure Heart. And to preface that, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians, of course, 13. And we're going to read verse 1 through 8, and I'm just going to read that. We're not going to comment there. We've covered that on numerous occasions. But we're going to read it to get us in the right frame of mind, because when you discuss things, you need to have the terms understood between the people discussing it. So when we say love, we're not talking about the kind of love when people say, I love my dog, or the kind of love that I love sports cars, or I love the color blue. Not talking about that. We're talking about a type of love that is God-like in its nature, the type of love that motivates people to give. So a lot of times we say we love people, but we don't give to them. We say we love them, but we don't defer to them. We're talking about a type of love that God speaks of when he says he so loved the world that he gave. And then we're going to talk about how to get that love from a pure heart. But let's first define it. Best definition ever posed that I've heard of love. Let's start off in chapter 13, verse 1 first. If I can speak in tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, which is that reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for us and in us. In other words, the God type of love, what he's talking about. He says, if I can speak in tongues of men, I am, but yet not have the love of God on the inside of me and getting through me, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, oh, God uses me in the gifts. I'm a prophet, a prophetess. If I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose of God, and I understand all secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can even remove mountains, but I have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing and useless to no one. That's a strong statement. Now, that kind of tells you that all the rest of that stuff is subservient to love. And very often we chase the things trying to collect the things and we miss the love. Oh, we think somebody's pretty special if they have faith to move a mountain. If they have not love, God says it's nothing. Love is what keeps the motive pure. Love is what keeps the heart straight. Love is what motivates us to do the right thing perpetually and continually. Over and over to do the right thing just because it's right. I love this person. I will continue to be a blessing to them. I love this item, this thing, or I love serving God. I love the word of God causing me to want to read it on a regular basis. If you love it, you're drawn to it. If you love it, you want to spend time with it. There's nobody who said, I really love you with all my heart. Now I'm going to do my best to stay as far away from you as possible. Usually that doesn't go together. If you really love another person, you usually want to be with them. Just like if you love chocolate, you don't want to spend too much time away from it, do you? Let's go on here. Verse 3. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food. I mean, that's a good thing to do. To give all your money you have to the poor, giving them food. And if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but I have not the love of God, I am nothing. I mean, these are the things most of us aspire to. And he's telling us, if you don't have love, we're nothing. Well, it seems like to me, we should be aspiring to the love with a higher motive and priority than aspiring to the things. Because if we aspire to love, I guarantee we'd do the things because that's part of the definition of love. And so often, do we make it a point, I am going to love more this year, or do we say, I'm going to pray more this year, I'm going to read more this year, I'm going to study the Bible more, I'm going to go to church more, and all those are good things. But see, we can do those and they become drudgery because we're not doing them by the motivator of love. I love God so much that I will obey His word this year. If His word says do that, I'll do it. That's just because I love Him. It's because I decide to love Him. Not a list of things I got to do, but I love the Lord. That's why I do these things. But sometimes if we're not careful, we do these things just because we want to do them. We don't have love as the motivation. You can have people volunteer at the ministry, but if they do it with love, they do it differently than just doing it by drudgery. I could come here and preach because I love the church and I love the people. I can come because God told me to. I'm going to die and go to heaven early. It's a difference when you have a motivation to do something. God says, I'm supposed to love my wife. I don't feel like loving her today. I don't want to love her. She may not feel like loving me. You may not feel like loving your wife or your husband. See, but what are you looking at? You're looking at love. You're looking at what you feel like.
Hello, this is Robert Cook, inviting you to meet me at Joy Faith Christian Center, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Palm Beach Lakes High School. For more information, find us on the web at www.joyfaith.com. You can listen to today's program again on your smartphone or on your computer online at www.joyfaith.com. I look forward to meeting you in person this week at Joy Faith Christian Center, where you'll experience excellence in ministry and excellence in living.
It's a difference when you have a motivation to do something. God says, I'm supposed to love my wife. I don't feel like loving her today. I don't want to love her. She may not feel like loving me. You may not feel like loving your wife or your husband. See, but what are you looking at? You're looking at love. You're looking at what you feel like. All right. Love is the motivator. Love is what caused God to give His Son to die. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why'd you do that, God? That was pretty dumb. What'd you do that for? Because of love. It's almost like love made Him do it. Love just compelled Him. It's the love of God that compels us to reach out, to touch other people. And we want to know how to do this with a pure heart. Let's go on a little bit further quickly here. Verse 4-8. Love endures long. This is love we're talking about. Definition. Quintessential biblical definition of love. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Oh, that happens a lot. Love is not boastful, vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, being proud. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy. It's not fretful. It's not resentful. It takes no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice when injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. When what's right and what's true and accurate and correct prevails, love is happy. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. It puts a 10 on their head, willing to believe the best of everybody. You're a perfect 10. Oh, but I see what you're doing. So, right, you're a perfect 10. I believe in you. I believe in God in you. Love believes the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love, that is God's love in us and through us, it never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Now they talk about, they go on and talk about prophecy, that'll come to an end someday. Tongues, there'll be no need for it, they come to the end. Operating in the spiritual gifts, there'll be no need for them, they come to an end, but there'll never be an end to love. Never be an end to love. Love is a powerful thing. This world has the problems it has now, if you put it in a nutshell, just a simplistic statement, is because they don't know how to love. If they know how to, they're not doing it. Think about it. If everyone loved everybody, there would be no starvation. There would be no poverty. There would be no lack. life will be better for everyone.
Amen.
Everyone, it'd be better. Even the rich people, it'd be better for them. Because some of them, you know, they got the gates and all this around them and trying to protect them because they think the poor people think they stole it. So the poor people trying to steal it back. So they got to get it and protect themselves and lock themselves up and keep themselves on top. Then the poor people think they stole, so they got to go get them their enemies. All there is a lack of love because God put enough on earth for everybody.
Amen.
There's enough on earth for everybody. Now let's look at how to love with a pure heart, because we don't want to be part of that group who's lacking it. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Apostle Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We know John is the apostle of love, but Peter said quite a few things about love also. I believe if you travel with Jesus, you learn anything at all. If you read your Bible and learn anything at all worth learning, you'll learn something about love. All those other things, they'll say, but without love, you're nothing. So be careful about studying extensively the other things and overlooking developing a great, fixed, mature understanding of what love is. And many of us don't know what love is. Someone can be loving them and they say they're hurting them. Somebody can love them and they say they're being evil. Somebody can use loving words and they say, that's not love because it doesn't make me feel good. It can't be love. If you loved me, you would always make me feel good. I love my kids, and sometimes I have to make them feel bad when they don't listen. But you're not going to be able to tell me from the Bible that that's not loving them. It's loving them enough to teach them discipline so when they get older, they won't be fools. It's a good thing for your children not to grow up to be fools. Yeah, but when you're applying the discipline, it doesn't seem joyous for the season. And whether you're talking about dealing with children or dealing with relatives, friends, congregation, anybody, very often, if it doesn't feel good, people think it's automatically wrong because it doesn't feel good. So that's the problem, and that's what reveals to me that many people don't understand love. Although we may think we understand it, we have to go back to God's definition because God knows it better than any of us. That's why everything comes back to the Word of God. Let's take a look here and see what God talks about love and how to have a pure heart. Let's look at verse 22. 1 Peter 1, 22, and we're going to read through chapter 2, verse 2. Maybe through verse 3 even. Are you there? 1 Peter 1, 22.
Yes.
Seeing you have purified your souls. This is an excellent chapter. You should read it at home on your own time. But he's talking about being saved and obedience of God's children to the word and things like that. In verse 15, he said, be ye holy as I am holy. Be holy in your lifestyle, in your conversation, in your manner of living. In other words, because you're saved, work out your salvation. That's what he's talking about. He goes on in verse 17 and says, if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work past the time, he judges every man according to his work. God will judge every saved person according to his work. Oh, but we're not saved by works. No, you're saved by faith. And once you get saved, God's going to judge you by your works. And he doesn't judge respect to persons. He don't care if you're the pastor, if you're the usher, if you're the church member, or if you're the parking lot worker. He doesn't care. He judges without respect to persons. He looks at whether you obey him in your works. Do you do what he asks you to do? That's what he looks at. Did you live according to the word?
Today's message has been titled, How to Love with a Pure Heart.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God, develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
Precious Metals Reclaiming Service, an underwriter of the W.